So, are there any husbands in the room? Have you ever forgotten your wife's birthday? Or maybe no one wants to confess. When I was growing up, my dad used to always forget my mum's birthday. Like, even if he'd bought a present beforehand, on the actual morning before he went to work, he forgot it was her birthday. So, you know, he didn't say happy birthday, didn't give her the present. But as all good husbands do, he found a way to help himself to remember. I don't know how it was, but now he never, ever forgets the birthday. And he has a happy wife and he's good at buying presents. But, you know, sometimes we forget things. You know, often as human beings, we forget things. It can be silly things like having lunch with Vicky, or... As John mentioned it, I thought I'd bring it up. You know, like some of the more important things in life. And, you know, as human beings, we are vulnerable, fragile people who so easily forget. And I know that in my life, I so easily forget the important things about who God is, what he said, what he's done in my life, who I am, what my identity is, a sense of purpose that he's given me. And, you know, sometimes that can happen in the midst of the craziness of life. So, you know, like times when we go through stuff, there are painful times in our lives, or we're just so busy and we're so overwhelmed, we can be caught up in the emotion of what's going on at that particular moment, that we forget some of these important things. And the emotion, the pain, the disappointments, the busyness of life can, in those moments, feel more real to us than actually the important things about who God is, what he said, what he's doing, what he's done, who we are. Does anyone agree with me? Yeah. And so, you know, that's why, because this is how life is so often, us remembering and finding ways to remember is so important. And so, you know that we've been looking at the book of Joshua. And we're going to read one of the parts of the story. So if you want to get your Bibles out or your smartphones, Joshua 4 verse 1 to 11. And we're going to read the story. So just to give us, Linda's already kind of referred to it, but just in case you don't know the story leading up to this. So we've got the people of God, chosen by God. He's going to bless them so they can bless the whole of the world. It's not an exclusive thing to them. They were then in slavery for 400 years. They got delivered out of that. They walked in the desert for 40 years, but with this promise that God was going to take them to a land that they would be their own. And they crossed the Jordan miraculously. The waters have been parted. They've walked over it. And they've got through to the other side. And this is where we pick up the story. So Joshua 4 verse 1. Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest's feet are standing firm, and carrying them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight. So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. Thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. and they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. But the priests who carried the Ark were standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything was completed that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried and crossed. And when all the people had finished crossing the Ark of the Lord, and the priests crossed before the people. So they crossed the Jordan, and God says to them, you need to get 12 memorial stones and put them in the place where you're going to set up your tents, so that you will remember what I did for you on this day, and you will be able to tell your children, because when they say, what's this stone all about? You'll be able to tell the story of what God has done. Telling the stories is important to remembering. You know, it's really dangerous when we forget. An example of this from my personal perspective is, you know, around the country, we've got memorial stones about the First World War and the Second World War, just to remind us of how terrible it is that, particularly in that First World War, a whole generation of men lost their lives in such a pointless thing. And yet, we still, as humanity, don't remember how terrible war is and prevent it, you know, when we're about to go to war again. I know it's very complicated, and I'm sure everybody has lots of different opinions, just to say that. But it's like violence never solves the problem, and we forget this. And, you know, so easily our response can be violence in the face of violence. And, you know, I know it's complicated, but I'm just using it as an example. While I was writing my talk yesterday, I was also in the background watching Grey's Anatomy, I confess to you. Has anyone watched Grey's Anatomy? Okay, good. And those of you who've watched, I can't remember what season it was, but there was a storyline about this ferry where there was some kind of explosion on it, and there's loads of casualties. Does anyone remember this story? Yeah. And there was Jane Doe, this lady. She was pregnant. They thought she was dead. And one of the doctors heard something. He rescued her, brought her in. She was okay, but she couldn't remember who she was. And so she's pregnant. She can't remember if she's got a husband. She doesn't remember who her family is. She can't remember anything. And, you know, that was a really scary place for her to be. And there's this one part of the story where this family who are looking for their daughter, who's also pregnant, come thinking it's her. And she, because she was burned in the fire, she has a new face put on. So they kind of think it's her, and then they realize it's not. But the lady who can't remember, the pregnant woman, the idea of having a family that she belongs to is amazing for her. She wants them to be her family, whether they are or not. Because forgetting is a scary place to be, not knowing who you are. And I know I said it, I just want to reiterate again. So often in life, we forget who we are, what God has said, who God is, what he's done in our lives. And so we need to proactively do things to help us to remember. Because I don't know about you, but when I forget, I feel lost, I feel confused, I feel all over the place. And I need things that ground me to remind me who God is, what he said to me, what he's done in my life. Otherwise, I'm like, woo, all over the place. Does anyone else feel like that? Yep. So, you know, I want to tell you a few of my personal memorial stones. You know, for me, some of them are things, some of them are places. You know, when I was at Royal Holloway University, I felt like God asking me to commit myself to stay after graduation and give myself to see God's kingdom come in the place and around. And, you know, many of you have heard this story before, but, you know, I took a time over about 6 months to really be like, make a serious decision about whether or not I was going to say yes to God for that. And when I did, I thought, right, I'm going to say it to God, but I'm going to stand in a certain place. So those of you who know Royal Holloway, you know where the tennis courts are? there's like that green looking over Founders. And right at the end, there's this little bit of pavement right at the kind of back. And I stood there and looked over Founders as a kind of thing of looking over Royal Holloway and said to God, right, yes, I'm going to commit myself to you. And so it's like that place is kind of like a memorial stone for me, because when I go to that place, I know this is the place where I said to God, yes, I'm giving my life to you for this place. So, you know, maybe for us, it is those places where it's a place that's special between us and God, or us and other people. We've made a commitment and we go back to that place. Like, I remember quite a few years ago now, I don't know, maybe it was 2007 or 2008, around that time, we had a Jesus Culture Day. Who was at that Jesus Culture Day years and years ago? And we had students from around the country coming to school in Egham, this day that we'd organise a Jesus Culture. And it was really amazing for us at that time. And before it started, I just went and stood in that place again, near Founders of the tennis courts, and just reminded myself, yes, God, this is what I've committed myself for. This is what you've asked me to do. This is what I'm giving myself for. Another little one, which I forgot to bring it with me, but I've got a ring that I bought, again, a few years ago. I can't remember what year it was, but quite a few years ago. I went to Kansas City, to IHOP, International House of Prayer. Has anyone heard of it? The really funny thing is, in America, IHOP is International House of Pancakes. And when I got in the taxi, the guy said to me, oh, why have you come to America? And I went to go to IHOP. He was like, he genuinely thought I'd come to America to go to the International House of Pancakes. I corrected him, but oh my word, that would have been funny. So I went there to visit, and they've got this amazing like place where they have constant prayer and worship going on. And it's just such a great environment just to go to and just connect with God. And in that time that I was there over a few days, God was really speaking stuff and revealing to me stuff about who he was. And so when I came back, I bought this ring, which I can't show you because I forgot it, ironically. But that ring, when I see that ring, it reminds me about stuff that God said to me about who he was, about particularly around stuff about him, the bride of Christ and the bridegroom, and stuff about friendship and intimacy with him that he really revealed to me in that time. And it's like that ring is like a grounding to me, remembering who God is and what he revealed to me. And when I forget it, which I so often do, that ring just brings me back and helps me remember that is what God revealed to me about himself at that time. Does that make sense? Okay, I have another one. A coat. You can make noise sound effects if you like. So, this is about 2 years ago, I was shopping on Oxford Street, as you do, and was having a nice time, just kind of walking around thinking about life. It was in November back then, and I was in Debenhams in Oxford Street, and I just was thinking, I just felt like God just make a whole load of things just click together in my mind, because I am, as well as being passionate about Englefield Green and what God is going to do here and through us as people come and go, I also am passionate myself about going and doing things in the kind of places where Dave and Charlotte are. And so I was thinking, oh, you know, should I go and do it now? Should I go or not? I'm not sure if that's what God wants. Da-da-da-da. So thinking all these things, who should lead the journey? Da-da-da-da-da. Any suggestions? No joke. And so I was thinking about this. And then it's like I suddenly had this revelation that there are things that we want to do for God, but they may not be entirely... I'm not saying if you want to do something for God, it's not the thing you should do, so hear it out. But at times, we need to think about what is God doing in this moment in history. So I can hear stories of people who've done amazing things for God, and I think to myself, I want to do that. That would be amazing to do that. But at this moment in history, with what God is doing on the earth right now, that might not be the most helpful thing for me to do. And I had this kind of revelation that right now in this season, it's more helpful for God's kingdom for me to stay and be part of building a community together with others that can send people and be something that people can come back to and all of that kind of thing, than it would be for me to go myself. And it was kind of like this thing where I knew that God was giving me a choice. He wasn't making me do something, but this was me choosing again to do what he was asking me to do. And so this coat, which I actually bought this week with my birthday money from Debenhams in Oxford Street, is a reminder to me of what God said to me in Debenhams in Oxford Street. A great excuse to buy a coat. But honestly, I planned on doing this before. I knew on Monday I was going to go to London. I was going to go to Oxford Street and I was going to buy a fur coat as a reminder. I had it all planned. So, you know, there might be all kinds of different things that we might do on a personal level. You know, maybe it's like things that God has said to us, prophetic words, writing them down, recording them, listening back to them, writing notes in our Bibles. You know, I often write things in my Bibles about what God is saying to me, just to help me remember, otherwise I forget. When I forget, I'm all over the place. I need these things to ground me and remind me about who God is and what he said. You know, I really love, as a Journey leadership team, we have this great tradition, which I love, in that when we have our Christmas meal each year, we like all go around and we say, what is the best thing that we, or what was our favourite thing that happened this year in the Journey and personally? And it's always so great just to tell those stories about what's happened and what God has been doing. I love that we tell stories here on a Sunday. You know, I love that Holly told us her story today. I don't know if she's still there. And, you know, when we had our 10-year anniversary last year, the thing I loved most about it was just hearing all of those stories about what God had done over the last 10 years and just remembering. And it's so important to remember. And it's not just for us as individuals, it's also, you know, let's think about it as a community, what can help us to remember what God has done. I need some assistance. Would anyone like, I need two people to help me. John's, Emma, yes. Right, do you want to hold this up? Right, in the early years of the Journey, we had some really great artists. Matilda, for those who remember. And the first ever junction that we ever had was all about following Jesus. And Matilda did this as a kind of like prophetic thing to capture what that junction was about. And we often, we haven't done so much these times always, but we always used to have these banners up in the early years of the Journey. And it was always a reminder about the fact that this is what God has called us to do. We're on a journey with him and we're following him. And every time when I see this, it just reminds me of that first ever junction, that that was what God was saying into us as a community. And that's what he's called us to do. And that's what we're about. We're on a journey together following Jesus. And, you know, like this nice picture of holding hands. It's really great. Okay, another one. Again, this was in the first year of the Journey when we were still meeting in a house. We did this. And these hands are the hands of the people that were part of the Journey at the time. And it, again, it was this whole thing that's so key to who God has called us to be. I can't read it. Okay, so this was the commitment that we made on this day when we did it. It says, we, though, are going to love and be loved. And it's got love God, love one another, love the lost. And then some Bible verses there. First we were loved, now we love. He loved us first. And again, you know, right at the beginning, just speaking into who God has called us to be. And the final one. Okay, so obviously you've got a nice picture there of the world. And those verses, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And I spoke up to... I'll go send me, sorry. Who will be the message, the good news to the world? And again, you know, this is a massive part of God, who God has called us to be as a community, of that whole thing of going... being sent into the world, wherever that may be. It could be here, at Royal Holloway, at work, with our friends, with our family, but this is what God has called us to be. And this reminds me that that was specifically coming out of stuff that God was speaking to us as a community. Okay, you can... Thank you very much, John and Emma. So I just want us to think about, in this time, in this season, about memorial stones for us as a community, reminding us who we are, what God has said to us, who's called us to be as a community, not just individuals. You know, as I have said before, life can be too, at times, painful, at times too comfortable, at times too busy, to not forget who God is, what he said to us, the stories of what he's done in us as individuals and as a community, who he's called us to be, what our identity is. And we need to be proactive in doing things to help us remember. You know, we know that what we're going to do at the end, Jesus gave us communion. You know, he said, you know, whenever you meet, do this in remembrance of me. That is a practical thing. Jesus knows what we were like as just helping us together to remember who Jesus is, remember what it means to follow him and all of that. So what I want us to do, we're going to end.
As we draw our